Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day, ladies. And even those that serve as mothers, happy Mother's Day. What a beautiful day to celebrate you and to worship God together. Let's stand up and praise Him.
Turned into wine, opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness we shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Thank you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? And if our God is with us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then who could stand against? What could stand against?
Praise band, and you may be seated. Good to see everyone here this morning, and happy Mother's Day to those of you that are moms. And there might be some that will be moms. You just don't know. But I do know that there is a great grandma here today waiting for number 16. Great grandma. 16 great grandkids. If you can tell me who that person is, I will give you a dollar. But It's just good to see that everyone is here this morning for Mother's Day. This is my first Mother's Day without my mom. And it's just kind of weird because used to sending her a card, used to calling her on the phone, and you can't do any of that anymore. Used to sometimes surprise her, just showing up on Mother's Day. She'd never expect that. Those days are all gone. And I'm not the only one. There are some others that are here in the church, too, that this is your first Mother's Day without your mom, or maybe without your wife. And so it's real difficult and just kind of a strange thing. But like the song says, our God is greater, our God is stronger. And we've come to worship him who has turned the water into wine as well. We have communion a little bit later on in the service today as well. Just want to remind you that today, you see in your bulletin, hopefully you got one, there's just one thing that's not in there. We've got praise items in there. We have just thank yous because we really appreciate some of the things that go on here at Harbor of Joy that we could not do without your volunteering and being a part of that. But there's one that's not in here, and that would be a prayer request. And I didn't realize it until this morning that Dorothy Cherry, her brother, fell. He's in Texas, or anybody know where he lives? Texas? Yeah, there she is. He passed yesterday. Yes, I was going to say he broke his neck. He fell down and he broke his neck. And he died yesterday. Sorry to hear that, Dorothy. Wow, I didn't expect that. That's like getting kicked in the stomach by a mule, you know? But yeah. Well, let's just pray for you, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here together today and we can uphold one another through loss and through joys that go on in our lives, and we never know. We just don't know, even when it comes to be next year. Who is there here today that will not be with us at this time next year? But Lord, we just pray that you be with Dorothy, Cherry, and the family as they deal with the loss of a brother, and maybe he's an uncle and a dad. I don't know much about him, but it's a sad time, and it's one of those things that even though we may expect something bad, when it does happen, it still is something you can't really prepare for. The end of life is, there's no words for that other than Jesus Christ is so important in a time like this that it's the only way that there's going to be a reunion, that we can be together again. So, Lord, I don't know the faith of her brother, but we just pray that in times like these, we think about spiritual things, and we think about end of life. We think about the precious gift that you have given to us, even though it took your life of your son, your one and only son, to die on the cross, that we could have forgiveness of our sins. So we just pray for Dorothy today, as well as with all the moms, grandmas, and great-grandmas that are here today, that may this be a special day as we honor them in ways that they know that they are honored and that they feel special. And sometimes, Lord, men have a hard time in doing that, but I just pray you be for the guys today that are thinking probably today, like, what can we do for mom, or what can I do for my wife? There's so many things that they contribute to the family that we sometimes take for granted. So may you always be in front of us, and may our minds and our hearts be on you always. So may this day be truly a day of where we make a memory in being together with those who can do that today. And to be with those, Lord, that will be talking about their moms, even if she is gone, that We're thankful that you're here with us in days like today as well. So we just thank you for everyone that is here this morning, and we just pray your blessing upon the music and your word and the communion that takes place today, that you would come close to us because we've drawn close to you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I remembered. The call to worship today is a very familiar psalm, been that way for hundreds of years. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Would you point out why?
majesty, your majesty, we still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness, Word of God, speak.
You want him to sing that again? I would, but I'm outvoted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That comes from 1 John 1:9. We're going to take some time now in just silence. It's between you and the Lord. And listen to his still small voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If he brings anything before you on sin that needs to be confessed or praise that needs to be lifted up to him in praise, we thank him. May that be what we respond to during this time. Let's spend some time in silence and reflection and self-examination this morning. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Special number this morning is something we don't always hear very often, but it's going to be a tuba solo by Tristan Johnson. And so, Tristan, the Lord bless you. Where are you? You're already there. Wow, okay. What's that? Oh. I'll just be a little, just letting you know that when we have communion, we're going to take this stuff off here. But we have an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of Harbor of Joy in order to take communion. I just let you know that because sometimes you're just not sure what to do, especially when you're visiting a new church. But you're open. If you love Jesus, come and receive from him. There's going to be two stations. One station is down here. You can be served as you go that way, and you can go back and sit down right away if you'd like. If you'd like to come up front and kneel, and if you can't kneel, you can still stand up there and pray to the Lord and stay there as long as you want, and we'll serve you up there. That's the other station that will take place. If you do not want wine, if you just want grape juice, you just hold your hand like this. Those who are serving you will understand that that sign is. And, the good thing is that you're facing that way, so no one will see you do that, except for the ones that are serving you. And so it's not a big deal. And so that's just entirely up to you. And that's how we do it. And if you don't want to take communion, it doesn't mean anything to us if you don't. You're not going to be browbeated by anybody, or they're going to be going like, what's wrong with that person? You know, none of that will take place. It's just like, hey, be who you are. And do whatever is comfortable for you today. But Jesus invites everyone who believes and who loves him to come to his table, because one day we will not have to do this, taking communion together. And that's when he comes back, when we're going to be with him for all eternity. So just keep that in mind when we come to that point and place. So now you're all ready to hear the message, right? I don't hear no clapping. Oh, there we go. Okay. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word here this morning. It's not your typical Mother's Day message, but I still think it's good for moms and dads and everyone here to hear God's word and what it has to say to us today. It comes from John. John chapter 10 in the New Testament. And it's going to be verses 24 through 33. John 10, 24 through 33. Now read in Jesus' name. The Jews gathered around him. Him is Jesus. So the people are gathering around him. And they're saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Did you hear that? Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone Jesus. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Dun, 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 dun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may you use these words today on this Mother's Day in a way that only you can. May you speak to hearts. You help me to preach your word in truth and in clarity and being brief. as people need to get the point of what you're saying and what's going on here in our text. Bring it to life, Lord. Bring it to life as we hear. And help us to hear, not only in our heads, but Lord, help us to hear where it goes from our brain down to our hearts. May we hear from our hearts today as we hear your word. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you were kept in suspense this past week. I know I was when there was, you know, the Vatican was kind of talking about the color of smoke that was supposed to come out somewhere in the Vatican as they were picking a new pope. And if the black smoke came out, it meant no decision was made. There is no answer to the new pope. If white smoke came out, it would mean that someone has been elected to be the next pope. So the suspense was over this week because the white smoke came out, and then the suspense was there because, like, who is it? It took a while before the word came out. Maybe it leaked out, I don't know. It became an American. I did not know that this is the first American pope that ever has been chosen and picked through the centuries. And his name is Robert Provost. But he picked his own name. Now he is Leo XIV. I don't understand how you do that or why it's done that way, but that's what it is. If you hear anything about Leo XIV, we're talking about the Pope, because the other one had passed away, had died. Interesting that they interviewed his brother, and they said, so have you talked to him yet? And he goes like, no, Rob, I haven't talked to Rob yet. I go, Rob? And he go, yeah, he goes, he'll still be Rob. That's how they referred to him growing up. It was always Rob. His real name is Robert Provost. And so I thought for sure they're going to call him Bob, you know. I'm glad it wasn't Bob Floss. You know, I'd go like, what, whatever was that going to be like? Bob Floss. That's why he wore that nice shirt today. He thought he was the Pope. Yeah. Have a chair there, Bob. When I look at our text today, I see that there is some suspense that is going on in our text this morning with the Jews. They wanted to know from Jesus. They wanted Jesus to proclaim to them who he was. Is he really the Christ? Is he really the Messiah? They wanted to hear it straight from him. And they say, tell us plainly. And that reveals that they're not only around him, they are in high expectation, and they are very impatient. They want to know right now, who are you? We want to hear it from you. Are you the Christ? If he was the Messiah, then they wanted him to fulfill his calling as the Messiah, as the Christ, by achieving the independence from the Roman control of Israel. They looked at him as a political person, a political figure. And if he was not the Christ, if he was not the Messiah, then they would look somewhere else, waiting, hoping they would find him somewhere along the way. But they wanted to hear from Jesus himself. Jesus has already answered their questions about who he is. And he points that out to them. I've already done how many miracles? The miracles should speak for themselves about who I am. I could not do if the Father did not tell me to do these things. So he's always given the glory and the praise to his Father. And if you look just through the book of John, just through this book, I just want to remind you of some of the miracles that are recorded in the book of John. Chapter 1, we got John the Baptist. What did he say about Jesus when he came to be baptized? He said to the people and everyone that was there, he said to them, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the whole world." He did not feel worthy even to tie his sandals. We go to John, same chapter, but we go to verses 41 to 42. When Jesus was picking his disciples, what did Andrew say when he went to his brother, Simon Peter? Andrew said this about Jesus. He said, We have found the Messiah. Duh. It's been answered. The questions that are going on here in Jerusalem in the temple court. And so he brought Peter. Andrew brought his brother Peter to meet Jesus. Here's the Messiah. John chapter 2, we find where Jesus, the first miracle, which was what? We sang a song about it here this morning. He changed water into the wine at a marriage, at a wedding in Cana. The Samaritan woman who was at the well at high noon, the hottest part of the day, it was Jesus who went to her, to the well, and she's a Samaritan. Do Jews and Samaritans get along? Absolutely not. They despise one another. Who does Jesus go to? To the Jewish woman at the well? No, he goes to the Samaritan. And it is she who goes back to her people and says, I've found the Messiah. I've met him. I know who he is. And they said, like, oh yeah, we don't believe you. And then Jesus spent a few days with these people, the Samaritans, and they go like, you know, we come to believe in Jesus. It's not because of your testimony, woman at the well, but we have heard for ourselves and we do believe that he is the Messiah. We go on in John chapter 4. We find that Jesus healed an official's son. He was sick. They didn't think he was going to make it. And Jesus said, he will be well. Just go back home. And they ran into him, and he found out that he was fine, he was great. And they said, well, what time did this take place? What time did this happen? And he figured it out. It was the same time that he was talking to Jesus, and he was healed from a distance. We don't know how far away he was, but Jesus wasn't even there. But he just says, he is going to be healed. He'll be fine. Just go back. Find out for yourself. We find Jesus at another place. It's at a pool. And there's a man who has been an invalid for 38 years. Think of that, 38 years, which means if you're an invalid, you can't do squat. You can't do anything. Somebody has to carry you or help you to get to wherever you want to go. And they would put him next to the pool, and the people there were waiting for the waters of the pool to be stirred, and the first one in would get healed of whatever their infirmity was. When Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? Of course, the answer would be like, what? Yeah. But he can't make it into the pool because somebody beats him into the pool every time the water is stirred. And it's Jesus who says to this man who has been an invalid for 38 years, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And he does. We have that in John. We find that the sixth chapter of John, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves. Try that someday. See how far you get. You'll put Arby's out of business. No more fish sandwiches. We find that Jesus walks on the water as well. In John chapter 7, verse 41, it says that others, it doesn't say who they are, but others said that Jesus is the Christ. It wasn't just his disciples. It wasn't just those that he had healed and did great things, but it was other people who knew about him and heard about him, and they go like, yeah, he's got to be the Christ. Jesus, in chapter 9 of John, he heals a blind man who was born blind. The Jews thought that he had sinned, and that's because he was blind. What did his parents do that he was blind? They must have sinned and passed it on to their son. And Jesus said it wasn't that at all. But he returned this guy's sight. And the parents were afraid to stick up for him, their own son, because they didn't want to be excommunicated from the synagogue. And so they said, well, ask him. He's 40 years old. He knows what went on, what happened. Hear from him. Believe what he has to say. Don't talk to us. Talk to the one who has been healed, who can now see. I once was blind, but now I see. In chapter 11, where we find Lazarus, John 11, he brings someone who had died and was buried in a tomb. He was wrapped in whatever they wrap him in. And it's Jesus who brought him back out of the tomb. And we look way ahead to John chapter 20. John 20 is where we find that the women went to the tomb, and there's the resurrection. Jesus was not there, but Jesus rose from the dead. That's a lot of miracles, isn't it? So Jesus tells these Jews here in the court of the temple in Jerusalem, he says, I give you two reasons why you have not understood the miracles that I've done. I give you two reasons. The first one is that you don't believe. You don't have faith. The second one is, you're not my sheep. What? You're not my sheep. My sheep knows my voice. My sheep who follow me, they are obedient to what I say. They follow me. You guys aren't. You don't know me. You're just in your own little world of self-centeredness. You got your own laws that you think people have to follow. But you have nothing as far as faith in who I am. You've heard the adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. How many times has Jesus done that in his life? He's told people, brings them to the water, brings them to the well, and they refuse to drink. You can't make them drink. It can be just like going to church. How many times have you been to church in your, how many years you are? You can come every Sunday, every time the doors are open. Doesn't mean you've received by faith what Jesus has done. Wow. I thought I could come and God would let me into heaven to say, I've been to church every Sunday. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. Salvation is a gift as we believe and trust in him, Jesus Christ, his son. So what Jesus is pointing out to these Jews that have asked him who he really was, Carter, are you awake? Okay, I'm just going to make sure. Okay. Usually it's Dale that's sleeping, but not you. No. Just kidding. It is when Jesus was talking about that he is the Christ of the miracles, what the Jews are forfeiting is they do not have eternal life like they think they do, and they're forfeiting their protection of what Jesus will do for them. He protects them. So when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, you notice that the Jews picked up stones, didn't they? They picked up rocks. And they said, you blasphemy. You just claim to be God, and you're just a mere man. Jesus says, it proves my point. Even though I tell you, I've shown you who I am through the miracles. The miracles speak of who I am. You don't get it. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do that will make you believe. And I'm not here to make you believe. I come to make you want to believe in who I am. So again, the revelation is of their unbelief. They have no faith in Jesus as being the Messiah, as he is. So here I conclude. And I'm talking to the moms. Dads, you can listen, or guys, you can listen. I'll get you on Father's Day, okay? So you can start planning your way that you're not going to be in church on Father's Day. But moms, here's the deal. Do you believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Do you believe in Jesus Christ being who he says he is? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's one and only Son? Are you one of Jesus Christ's sheep? Which means that you listen to his word, and that you follow him by faith and out of obedience. Do you know that you have eternal life because Jesus has given you this gift of salvation by dying on the cross for you? Is the promise of John 3:16 real in your life today? Remember what John 3:16 says? For God so loved, that's you, Mom. God loves you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, and that again, that's you, Mom, whoever. It goes beyond moms, it goes on to dads, it goes on to grandpa and grandmas, aunts and uncles, daughters, sons. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. In other words, will not die. But you will have eternal life. And that's John 3:16. Putting it in a more personal way. The greatest way to celebrate Mother's Day is to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're trusting, you're believing in him. Are you going to do that perfectly? No. You will not do it perfectly. I do not do it perfectly. Jesus is perfect. That's what counts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with the moms that are here today and the grandmas and the great-grandmas, those that are watching by Zoom, wherever they may be. May they know that Jesus is so very, very important. We can have everything in this world and be admired by many people, but still be poor and desolate because we don't have Jesus. So help us, Lord, May we give you thanks. May we praise you for helping us to see that we were lost, but now we see, or that I see, because you are the Christ, the Messiah. You are worthy to be praised and worthy to be prayed to, worthy to be trusted in all things. Everything holds together by you, Jesus. May we find that that is where our hearts are at here this morning on this Mother's Day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said to his disciples, and they kind of broke the bread and said, take, eat. All of it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He then took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to his disciples and he said, this is the cup. Drink all of it. This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. With that, I will ask the servers to come, and we will have communion together to those of you that would like to partake. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace and serve the Lord.